Games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Dale are here. There is a number of things going on. We've got extra time underway in Paisley between St Mirren and Hearts, and in Perth between St Johnstone and Motherwell. We've got two games finished in the League Cup where we have safe passage for Partick Thistle and for Aberdeen, so well done to them. We're building up to kick off about 40 minutes away at Ibrox, where Russell Martin has made wholesale changes. And of course last night to look back on as well, if you fancy. So the opportunities are endless there. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, please. Or you can tweet us like Moan the Jags has. Great result for the Harold Rags. Delighted with that. Heading for a wimpy in Dingwall next week. Can't wait. If Dave Galloway's heading, tell him I'll buy him a banger. Says Moan the Jags. In all seriousness, that's a great result for Partick Thistle, and an important one for Aberdeen as well.
Well, Aberdeen obviously going down there. Some people fancy that the shock. I said earlier, I just think early on in the season, I know they had a bad start, just thought Aberdeen would be too strong. But Partick Thistle, not just a great result for Mark and the lads and the supporters, the fact that getting into the next round, that excitement with their supporters sitting tonight, looking at the draw, if they can get a big club, get more finance into the club, allows Mark, because we know he's working there with a small squad, he's got some experienced players, but a lot of young players that he's trying to get through. It's got to be a long, difficult season for them. It gives them a little bit of, you know, money to go out there and strengthen that. So that was so, so important, not just for a result, but financially for me, for Partick and Mark.
Yeah, again, I think it's a brilliant result. And what it does for the players as well is, we know that there's a bit of pressure on Partick Thistle this season and the players to certainly be up towards the top of that league in the Championship. So it just allows them to be in the draw. They'll want to get a good draw. The players are probably looking at Celtic and Rangers, wanting to get that opportunity to play against these teams. But yeah, it just allows you to have that weekend where you're not needing to focus on your Championship stuff and go and enjoy a game, and hopefully they get a good draw, and as you say, it financially rewarding for the club as well.
I think also rewarding for Mark Alec Ray. You know, they have had a terrific Premier Sports Cup, didn't lose any of the group stage games. Very good result today. It's good to see the two of them starting to motor, and it ought to have a knock-on effect.
Well, let's go to the phones and bring in Brian. Take it away, Brian.
I watched the game last night. Celtic were a really good performance, and I thought man of the match was obviously was given to Alistair Johnson. I thought it personally was James Forrest, and that's a wee bit of a, I don't know, sad indictment that James Forrest is your best player. He's a great player, and we're James for a number of years. But we've got to get some reinforcers up front. I mean, John Kenny's just not doing it, and Ida not doing it either. We certainly need reinforcers on the wings to sort of supplement James on the right and to get somebody through the middle. It's just not good enough. Sorry, we need.
It's the one area that's going to bring the Celtic supporters into conflict with the Celtic hierarchy. Should Celtic fail to qualify for the Champions League, and the subsequent loss of revenue will be dramatic. And also, for domestic purposes, you cannot go through a season with Adam Ida up front. It simply won't work. And Yang will never be a regular player in the Celtic team. So those two areas of the side are there to be addressed, and they haven't been addressed so far. And for me, primarily, the games against Kairat Almaty, which will determine whether Celtic go into the Champions League or not, they are not a formality. Celtic need to build up a convincing lead at Celtic Park on Wednesday, but there is a glaring, overwhelming lack of a top-class striker to help them get there, because I would have no confidence in Adam Ida providing the difference between qualification and non-qualification for the Champions League.
The danger with this, Gordon, because it's gone on so long, we're in danger of going round in circles. There's a lot of the same stuff being said. Let's get specific about some players that we've maybe not really discussed at length. Brian brought up Johnny Kenny. It's a big chance for him. whilst I'm sure you wouldn't judge him purely on last night, mm-hmm. is he running out of chances to show that he can get that spot? Is he getting close to that? What's
no? He's not getting close to the spot. I think
no. I mean, sort of getting close to running out of chances.
Look, it's always difficult as a player. You get out there and you're judged in that one game. You know, and Celtic have made a lot of changes as well. So it is difficult for the lad. Look, they think he's been good enough to give him a new contract. I think he has one for the future. Now, we keep harping on here about that Celtic don't have a first-class striker. To me, Maeda is one of the best strikers going about. He scored so many goals from that position.
So it's a winger you need then?
100%. I think David Friel was right the day when he was saying, I would be more concerned with a wide player. Now, Brian's on the phone talking there about James Forrest. It doesn't matter what age James Forrest is. James Forrest is fit as a fiddle. He's got brilliant experience. He's won every major over and over.
No, you would take the point. There's not a chance anyone at Celtic
thought,
envisaged, that James Forrest can be your sort of leading winger this season.
Listen,
no chance.
No, I'm not talking over a season. I'm talking over the next game, right? The two games in the Champions League qualifiers. You've got Maeda can score goals. I know Hugh, and he's quite right, because that's his opinion. He writes off Adam Eda, and so does a lot of Celtic fans. But he scored goals last season. So if you put the two of them together, Maeda and Adam Eda, they're tallies together.
So you think the priority is definitely a wide player to allow Dyson Maeda to play for them?
See if I could bring in one player for the next week, I'd bring in a winger. I wouldn't bring in a centre
forward. But if you play Maeda through the middle and accept that he's your number one striker, mm-hmm. then it's two wingers you need, because James Forrest mm-hmm. cannot be expected. Brian on the line is quite correct to praise James Forrest for 17 unbelievable seasons at Celtic, the most decorated player in Scottish football. But you're flogging the man to death. He cannot be played the whole season long. So if Maeda goes through the middle, he's two wingers.
Stop. Nobody's talking about playing James Forrest. We're concentrating in these two games coming up. Wednesday, it's Wednesday, isn't it? And next Tuesday. Yep. Right. James Forrest could easily play Wednesday night and next Tuesday without a shadow of a doubt. Right? Without a shadow of a doubt. Over the course of the distance of the season, yes, I am 100% with you. They've got to bring in more players up top. But for this two games that you're talking about, if I had the choice of one player coming in, I'd bring in a wide player and I'd play Maeda, who I think is brilliant through the middle, because I think that's his best position.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd bring in a wide player as well. But let's not write James Forrest off as well. I think he's such an important player for Celtic, and he's proven that over the last couple of years when people have been writing him off. I think he comes on, yes. He can't start every game. He can't play 50 games a season. We all know that. So they need to bring reinforcements. But I'm with Daz. Listen, see James Forrest putting him in the next two games to get them into the Champions League. I think he's good enough to go and put on a performance and get Celtic through. So it is a priority to get bodies in the building, but they've also got to be of the quality that they're starting players coming in. They're not just squad players.
Happy enough with last night's performance, Brian?
Yeah, certainly. That was a wonder goal for the right back. That was a great strike for right back. But I think Maeda's got to be through the middle. It's like him and Tierney, they're not necessarily barging each other, but there's no sort of thing to there. They've got to be like given free space to say, it's like who's going where, who's going wide, who's going inside.
See that said, Gordon, I think a lot of people have made that comment, because if Kieran Tierney's charging up and down the line, which he did very well last night, you're maybe looking for Maeda to so-called get out of his way, or someone with a bit of craft. But I actually thought there was more signs though last night that relationship is starting to develop.
But listen, they're two quality players, Gordon, so they will develop that. They'll get to know each other's game. Of course they will. For me, this is the way I'd look at it. Maeda for me is a better centre forward than he is a wide player, right? That's only my humble opinion. Now, if I had Tierney at left back, I would be looking to sign a winger that was comfortable to play in and out, coming in.
Well, it's the Jota profile, isn't it?
Yeah. To allow injured. That space for Tierney. I think Maeda isn't that comfortable. He likes to get down with his pace, and Tierney's going down the left hand side. So if Jota was there, Jota and Tierney would be a brilliant partnership.
With regard to the wider picture, my suspicion, Brendan Rodgers has told Celtic he won't be manager next season, and the board have decided not to go big on the transfer front with a manager who won't be there next year.
I must admit, right, that makes no sense to me, because why? That's like self-sabotage then.
Well, what makes sense?
So do you think, because you know as well as I do, the heat that will go on this board if they don't make the Champions League.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be in their interest. It would not be worth doing that. That would be the biggest gamble of all time. What, to make some sort of point to Brendan Rodgers?
Well, the alternative then, we all know, because it's become common knowledge, that Brendan Rodgers lost his cool on radio last night when the question arose about incoming transfers. He's a man who is unhappy at his work right now with regard to that transfer policy, and the club are taking a gamble on qualification for the Champions League, because the team that will play Karat Almaty is not the strongest that Celtic could have had.
That's fine, but that's a very different thing from saying the board are just deliberately not giving Brendan Rodgers money because they know he's leaving, because that way then that would bring about a whole world of pain on them if that was to go wrong.
Absolutely. And again, the board are looking after the club, whether Brendan Rodgers is manager next year or the year after. We don't know the future, what's going to hold. They've got to do what's best for the club, for them to progress, and as you say, for them to bring more money into the club. It's getting into that Champions League.
Exactly, because it makes even less sense than I thought a minute ago, because the accusation, rightly or wrongly, the accusation from some about the Celtic board is they're focused too much in the business, too much in the money. Well, the Champions League's worth 50 million.
Absolutely.
So the notion that you deliberately risk that because Brendan Rodgers is going to leave, that doesn't add up.
That's bigger than any player they can sell. So that's got to be their focus. And I'm pretty sure that conversation's been had with Brendan Rodgers, and he knows that himself. He's a clever man. That, again, you qualify for the Champions League, that is massive for the club financially. I think that the board will be desperate for them to get into the Champions League.
Is there a little problem now with Celtic that they're trying to shop in a different market? I know that they bring in younger players, develop them, sell them on, good, but maybe they're just looking for the higher quality younger players.
Last season's a good example of how you can spend money and it might not necessarily.
Yeah, my concern, Gordon, is that they don't appear to be shopping in any market.
Yeah, that is the other thing.
It's gone completely static.
I'm sorry, we don't know that. Behind the scenes, unless you've got one ear in Celtic Park, we don't know what Celtic are doing business wise. They may be looking at. I don't think for a minute.
To be fair, right, and I'll always test Hugh's theories, but there has to be a bit of that. Jota's been injured since May, and Nicholas Kuhn left at the start of the window. So I know what Hugh means.
Kyogo's been away since January. They've made no attempt in 8 months.
Yeah, but right now, coming up to when the transfer window closes, are you telling me there's nothing going behind the scenes of them trying to recruit players?
There was a suggestion they had a look at Jack Grealish, but then obviously Jack Grealish earned so much money and Everton will pay him so much money, it was out of the question. However,
actually, it's something that maybe escaped some people's attention last night, and I was going to bring this up, and David Fielder's reminded me. Towards the end of his press conference last night, there were some interesting quotes from Brendan Rodgers talking about the bigger fees and how he feels it's important to pay bigger fees. He spoke about the 2 million market and the 1 in 2 million market and how it might work, but more often than not it doesn't. So it felt quite deliberate.
The growing perception among the Celtic supporters is that the Celtic hierarchy lack ambition, will not step up in terms of the fees that they pay for players.
Half time and extra time in Perth. Let's just get a quick update from Dave Galloway.
Yeah, half time in extra time. There's been one chance at either end, of course, an absorbing 90 minutes, but neither side could score in this first half of extra time, though a just shot rippled the side net, and at the other end, Svedberg had a neat turn and drive, but it didn't bother Ward. Still all to play for.
That's going to be tense now, sitting in Perth. 15 minutes to go.
Likewise,
I'm 15 minutes away for the best prediction today.
I think both could go to penalties.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Maybe check in with David Freeland just a second. They're a little bit behind in that game compared to the one in Perth. I think we'll get a half time whistle very soon. We'll do a quick update there. We'll take more of your calls. and we're potentially heading to penalties. We've got kickoff at Ibrox just under half an hour away as well. So Rangers fans, what are you thinking? I assume, I know there's a lot of criticism so far, I know there's a lot of negativity, but with no disrespect meant, surely this is a overwhelming favourites and then some job at home. League One opposition.
Is it a gimme?
Oh, I would never be so disrespectful. I couldn't possibly. Queen's Park would suggest otherwise. It is possible, but I don't think any of you would predict an Alloa upset. Big changes though for Russell Martin. We'll go back to Ibrox and get the team news for you soon, but get your calls in right now and let us know what you are thinking. We must be just seconds away from Paisley. Nothing really happening there. It's settled down a bit as both sides edge their way towards penalties. We're about to get back underway in Perth as well. Motherwell forced into another change. I think the new manager will be hoping it's not a serious one for Longello. He's gone off the left back, replaced by Ewan Wilson. Half time in Paisley.
Yeah, half time, Gordon, still one each. Very, very cagey now. And what's not helping, a very tired bunch of players as the sun is now beating down on the pitch. I feel for them. There are so many tired legs out there. Lauren Shankland did a sort of half chance, a shot blocked, but apart from that, nothing really doing. And at this stage, this game is heading for penalties.
Get to that stage, think teams take penalties to a point, or
I think the cagey word. I think both teams, they don't want to concede a goal in extra time because you know there's not a lot of time left. So, but listen, we know what penalties are like. It's an absolute lottery. I can't see there being any goals. I think they're both going to go to penalties.
Being a goalie, Cammy, did you watch the Crystal Palace Liverpool?
Yes.
The penalties. It's becoming a bit of a lost art. Even Mo Salah skied his.
Yeah. No, listen, I think the goalkeepers will have certainly done their homework going into these penalties. And again, we see it more and more that the water bottle with the players on that tells you what direction they normally hit the penalty into. So yeah, it's a good thing for goalies. I enjoyed penalties again.
Did you?
Yeah, last week you just found out that I saved three in one game. Yeah. So yeah.
And guess what? He's forgotten about that since last week as well.
Exactly. And you've milked it this week as well. The one thing I hate about penalty kicks, I love the excitement of penalty kicks. The one thing I hate now in the modern day game is the run up.
Yeah.
All this fancy stutter. Yeah. Just get up there, put your laces through it, and Cammy will save it.
We will go back to Ibrox after these. Get your calls in.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
We've got extra time in two League Cup ties today, but we've got a goal in one of them.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's for Motherwell in Perth. St Johnston 0, Motherwell 1. Just as it looked like this one was heading to penalties, one of the summer signings, Lucas Fadinger, had other ideas. He was slipped through. It was a nice threaded ball. He came in from a tight angle, just rolled the ball into the corner, and a healthy away support in Perth, very happy with that. Remember the story, he was the one signed pretty much by Michael Vimmer, who then left before he even played. But a good goal. He's been impressive in midfield and pulling the strings in the previous two games, but he's now contributed in front of goal, Gordon, and that is a big one.
A massive goal for Motherwell. You would probably imagine that they could see this game out now. Nobody wants to go to penalties because we know what happens there. So yeah, he's asked for a response. He's got it, and I think that the Motherwell fans, you quite rightly say, travelling good numbers now because they believe in this team. They will be absolutely delighted.
There's still 10 minutes left, Hugh.
Yeah, of course, but I do think that that's a healthy turn of events from Motherwell. I don't think they'll blow it now.
Yeah, again, you've got to give credit to, we speak about this makeshift Motherwell defence, another clean sheet it looks like coming their way and getting that vital goal. So it's a massive goal for them, and they'll be delighted if they can see this through and be in that hat for the next round.
It's a bit of craft, Gordon, that's probably been missing that was there with that goal. So it'll please the manager and the travelling fans, but it's not over yet. St Johnstone now know they can throw absolutely everything, throw caution to the wind and try and take this one to penalties. But as it stands, St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 1. We are, however, on course for penalties in Paisley. A bit behind the game in Perth, it remains St Mirren 1, Hearts 1. We're going to keep the phone lines coming, so 0141 951 1025. We're going to go to Ibrox very soon and recap the teams, etc. So let's bring in, in fact, let's do that first so that we can add a bit of context to the calls coming in. Lana has the teams from Ibrox.
got both teams now, so wholesale changes for Russell Martin after his side's game with Victoria Pilsen. It's going to be a debut for 18-year-old Mikey Moore on loan from Tottenham Hotspur. And fellow summer signing Tello Asgard is on the bench alongside Hamza Igaman. So it's going to be Liam Kelly in goal, Oscar Cortez, Nasser Giga, Manny Fernandez and Max Ahrens, Joe Rothwell, Bailey Rice and Nedim Bajrami, and Kieran Dowell, Danilo and Mikey Moore. Substitutes, Butland, Tavernier, Barron, Asgard, Cameron, Antman, Igaman, Gentles and Curtis. For Alloa, it's going to be Liam McFarlane in goal, a back four of Owen Foster, David Devine, Scott Taggart, Callum Waters, Stefan Skugal, Stephen Hetherington and Curtis Roberts in midfield, and a front three of Steve Buchanan, Luke Rankin and Calvin Orsi. Substitutes for Alloa, Ogai, Graham, Clark, Donnelly, Mackay, Salmon, O'Donnell, Mullen and Bruin. The referee this afternoon is Dane McFarlane and the VAR will be Greg Aitken.
Looking forward to it greatly. Thank you, Lana. Very interesting Rangers team. Hugh, if we start with the debutants, it's always interesting at this start of the season. And I think Mikey Moore, because he comes with such a big reputation from Spurs. They've even given him a new contract since he's been here. He got caught up in a bit of red tape because he was a minor in the eyes of FIFA. He's now turned 18. And he has a debut for Russell Martin's side today.
Probably the number one attraction for the Rangers fans at the ground today. You know, to see a talent of that description from the English Premier League. Thomas Frank, I'm sure, like all managers, will have sent him here expecting him to get a good education at Ibrox, but also expecting him to play regularly. So, if you're Alloa, Mikey Moore's probably the last thing you need to see.
I agree with you. I think going out, if your Rangers going supporter going along to Ibrox today, Mikey Moore is the one you're looking to see. Big reputation, young lad. I don't know much about him, but I hear that he excites the fans. It's a big game for him. Wholesale changes, as Lana said there. Big day for Danilo, for me. It's a good opportunity. You're playing Alloa at home. You're expecting you're going to create a lot of chances. You want to be bagging a few goals tonight. So I think that's a big, big game for Danilo.
It's I wonder if it's a bit of a no-win situation though for some of the players, Cammy, because with the best will in the world, it's good to get Mikey Moore minutes and some of the other players' minutes, and Tello Asgard might come on. Anything good that happens today will be met with the response of, well, it was only Alloa. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you really have to do your job and then some to even get a base level of credit. That's just the harsh reality of when you play an opponent from two leagues below.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just where Rangers are at the moment, the expectations there. But again, these players need to be able to handle this expectation. For me, it's a good game for a lot of these guys to come in. Mikey Moore, you'll see a lot of the ball today, you would expect. It's one where he can go and drive at defenders, cause them real problems today. So yeah, and I agree with Daz that Danilo, it's a big game for him, because again, being a striker, you're expecting him to score goals if he gets the opportunities today. So yeah, it's certainly a game I think Rangers need to put on a good performance.
You also have to see this game in the context of what is to follow on Tuesday night. A massive, massive game for Rangers. They, like Celtic, have got to do an awful lot of the work at home, because you can't rely on going to Belgium and getting out of a team who made the last 16 of the Champions League last season, who have been at Ibrox this season already. Pre-season friendly, were at one stage 2-0. Rangers got it back to 2-2. So Mikey Moore, if he stars today, he might star on Tuesday as well.
And is that where, Cammy, the back four, you know, on paper, it's Manuel Fernandez hasn't seen a lot of football. Max Ahrens coming back in after having a bit of criticism. Oscar Cortez looks like he's playing certainly one of the fullback roles. But is this a case of Russell Martin, with the best will in the world and all due respect and all that stuff, doesn't expect too much defending to be done today?
No, absolutely. I expect a lot of the ball. We know the way that Rangers now play out from the back, so he's expecting these defenders to have a lot of possession on the ball, playing passes forward with a purpose, and they've got to play with an intensity. So yeah, I think, listen, the back four, it gets these guys Fernandez games, Cortez, he's involved, it gets him game time as well. It's not his natural position, but we've seen him play that wing back position. The full back's slightly different, but I think they'll have so much of the ball tonight that I think he'll be absolutely fine in that position.
Taken out of Rangers European squad at the moment as well, so a bit of a kind of up in the air situation for him. Let's go to William, who's on the line. Take it away, William.
Hello, Gordon. Hello, panel. Hello. Right, my point is tonight, right, I understand the changes, but what my main point is, right, if he gets this wrong, right, and we play the way we've been playing domestically recently, and we put in this lacklustre performance that we've been putting in, say, Motherwell, Dundee, I'll just mention Queen's Park as well. If it goes wrong, you know what I mean, he's not going to survive that result. I just don't see where we've got the God-given right to make all these changes and expect to win the way we're playing domestically. What's your thoughts, panel?
Well, you know, if anything did go wrong against Alloa, and by that I take it you mean that Alloa win at Ibrox, then the pressure on Russell Martin would be beyond immense. He would really need to beat Bruges and Celtic for that scenario to change. And to be fair, if Rangers did lose at home to Alloa, you would have to have a full-scale investigation along the lines of, how can this possibly happen? I mean, Philippe Clement clung on for 90 minutes after the Queen's Park game and then got bulleted. But I think Russell Martin's destiny is shaped by, I'm ruling out today because I think Rangers surely win that game. His destiny in the short term is shaped by Club Brugge and Celtic.
Gordon, it's a difficult balance because you want to be respectful, and I take Will William's point. They're not playing great. Mm-hmm. Queen's Park did happen, and sometimes when you make all the changes at once, you lose even more of your sort of continuity. But Emmanuel Fernandez cost £3.5 million. Mikey Moore's just been given a long term contract by Spurs, the Europa League winners. Danilo, for all his maligned, cost about £5 million. Liam Kelly's got Scotland caps. This just look, it's the beauty of football, because you only ever are 90 minutes away. But when he says, if this goes wrong, Russell Martin will pay the price, it just feels like a very, very big if.
For me it's a massive if, not a very big one. And I look at that team, okay, he's mixed up, and I agree, that's what he should do. If you're playing at Rangers Football Club and you're coming in, if you cannot play against Alloa at home at Ibrox, then you shouldn't be wearing a jersey, you shouldn't be there. And I know the argument about the Queen's Park and everything like that. He's obviously looking at the fixture list tonight, and obviously Tuesday. He's quite right to put people in there, because there's one or two, or maybe even more than that, got a point to prove. So he's saying to them, listen, you've not had the opportunity, here's a great opportunity at home against Alloa, go out and show me your attitude, because he loves that. He wants to see his players having a good attitude and going about their business the right way. Go out and show me what you're all about, and it's up to the players to do that. Listen, I know that freak results happen. Rangers will not lose to Alloa.
Again, Cammy, because this is it. We are saying all this stuff, and we don't know. We probably said this in the Queen's Park day, and yeah, so totally get it all. But at the same time, the referencing Motherwell and Dundee, even that only goes so far. Motherwell played really, really well at home. Dundee defended brilliantly, carried a set piece threat. So yes, again, you leave the possibility there because you have to. But Alloa aren't Motherwell or Dundee.
But listen, Williams just mentioned that they've not been playing great. These guys haven't been playing, so they've not been given the opportunity to actually go and show what they can do. So again, I totally understand why Russell Martin's changed it. Yes, there's been players that a lot of these players might not play, but again, if they put in the right application, intensity in their game, they approach this game in the correct manner, it should be a comfortable and an enjoyable afternoon, certainly evening for Rangers. But again, I fully expect these players to go out with a point to prove. to go and try and force their way into Russell Martin's side and certainly give them something to think about going forward. But yeah, I fully expect them to go and win this game.
So William, you've outlined the doomsday scenario, but you seriously think there's a risk Rangers lose this tonight?
Honestly, I don't think so, right? But you know the way it goes, right? See, you go 25 minutes, it's 0-0, right? Crowd gets on their back. They start their play. Because Rangers are a confidence team at the moment at Ibrox, right? With the crowd on their back, right? I fully expect to win, but two things do happen. And if it does go the way it's been going recently, Russell Martin is not going to survive this result, but I do think we'll win.
Well, we'll wait and see. Let's quickly bring in Kyle, who's on the line as well. Kyle, how do you feel about tonight's game?
Tonight, with our results that we've had, I don't feel confident. But there is also the point is that he's made the 10 changes from the midweek game. So they've never really played this season. So it is a possibility that we do win. But the consistency that we have isn't showing the win that we need. So it's one of the things, but the 10 changes, they've not played, so you can't really say that they won't win. It's one of the things.
But so, again, it is true, Hugh, but it's just so difficult to be respectful but point out the gap here.
Yeah, yeah.
Kyle is right. Nobody here is saying Rangers have shown enough signs or they have played well, but a home game against Alloa, it is literally the ideal draw at this stage of the competition. Whilst I keep acknowledging, I want to be polite about this. If Alloa caused one of the biggest shocks of all time, I'm very sorry, but you know what I mean. Going into the game,
I mean, it's a fantasy. You know, Rangers will not lose at home to Alloa, and if they did, Russell Martin's job would be under threat.
Full time in Perth, Dave Galloway.
Yeah, full time. St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 1. You can hear what the Motherwell fans think about that. A good support through from Lanarkshire, and they are celebrating their side's deserved passage through to the last eight. The deadlock was finally broken in an entertaining match in the 109th minute of the game. Watt set Fadinger up beautifully with a lovely ball, and he found the bottom corner with a cool finish. Saints had their chances, but like I say, a thoroughly deserved victory for the Steelmen. It's ended St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 1.
So Motherwell are through. We don't yet know who's going through in Paisley, because it is about to go to penalties. We're going to get some drama for David Friel, although it is like the walking wounded. Everybody's down, everybody's got cramp, everybody's knackered. So the penalties might not be of a particularly high standard. Very quickly before we do that, Kyle, who's still on the line, you looking forward to seeing Mikey Moore tonight, Kyle?
I'm looking forward to him. I hope that he goes out and shows what he's capable of, because, and as much as I say it, Rangers are better getting loan players than they are signing players, because all the loan players have actually done well than their signed players. So I'm confident for him for tonight, yeah.
Ooh, that's quite an interesting point, that, because I know sometimes people don't like an abundance of loan players, but if they're of a certain level, you understand why. David Friel, has it finished there?
It has finished, Gordon, one each in total. Extra time is a bit of a waste of time, to be perfectly honest with you. The players, as you said, they're exhausted, they're so tired, the sun's beating down on them, they just want a rest, but they're going to have to go give it one final push in this penalty shootout. Two managers just getting their squads together, deciding who's going to take the penalties. I can see both goalkeepers getting a bit of advice to get this cheat sheet, don't they? Jamie Langfield down there, Paul Gallagher as well, speaking to Shamal George and Xander Clark. So a bit of drama to come, and we'll also see what end they go at, although there's more Hearts fans at one end than there is St Mirren fans at the other end, put it that way.
Drama in Paisley, Hugh Keevans. Do you know what? I'll let you predict the outcome of these penalties. How's that? Right, I'm feeling bad.
Right, I'm sitting beside a goalkeeper who once saved three penalties in one game, and I look at the St Mirren goalkeeper and I think he's better than the Hearts goalkeeper, and the goalkeepers have to be of some importance. You know, I do take your point that players are going down all over the park on both sides with cramp, and David is describing many tired men out there. I think St Mirren's better goalkeeper will put them into the last eight.
Is he the better goalkeeper though?
Listen, I look at both of them. I think when you look at the size of them, they're very, very similar. Both quite big goalkeepers, so it's a difficult one to call for me. I went for Hearts before the game, so I've got to stick with them. But yeah, as I said before, being a goalkeeper in this situation, it's a no-lose situation for you. You can only be the hero. So it's, I'm pretty sure both Xander and Shamal George will be looking forward to it.
Yeah, but who's going to get there? You haven't said.
I said Hearts. Hearts are going to
right,
win.
Right.
So Xander Clark get the chance to become a hero for Hearts. I was just looking up his, he's a penalty record there. It's a bit of a, bit of a mixed bag. Yeah, but I mean, I suppose it's always stacked in the taker's favour anyway, isn't it?
And again, for me, Xander Clark, Craig Gordon's back on the pitch, training field now, so he's got a point to prove to try and stay and be Hearts' number one. He had a poor weekend last weekend against Dundee United, got away with it because they got the win, but yeah, it could be a big moment for him.
Okay, we'll keep you up to speed on what's happening and we'll get kick-off from Ibrox next as well.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
Lauren Shankland scored the penalty first for Hearts. Richard King has also scored for St Mirren, so it's 1-1 at the moment. Xander Clark might be a bit disappointed with the effort on the Richard King penalty, perhaps. He got quite close to it, but David Field telling us he got quite close to that one but couldn't keep it out. So Stephen Kingsley has taken the third and scored as well, so Hearts with the advantage there. And we're just about to kick off at Ibrox. In fact, we're just seconds away, so I probably won't even manage to squeeze in a return visit to Lana. But she told us all about the changes, 10 in total, a debut for Mikey Moore. Just a point for accuracy, Cammy, when you watch the teams warm up, it sometimes gives you a bit of a clue. So we speculated about Cortez, but it actually looks like Aaron's at right back and Bailey Rice at left back, with Giga and Fernandez as the centre backs. Cortez looks to be playing out wide in midfield, as you would expect.
Yeah, and again, we kind of mentioned it, that Russell Martin expects players to be comfortable on the ball. So again, that position might, for a game like this where Rangers are going to see so much of the ball, probably not doing too much defending, and Bailey Rice being able to receive the ball and make them passes forward.
Marcus Fraser has also slammed one down the middle, which means it's 2-2 in that penalty shootout. So it's going to be back to Hearts to try and keep taking the advantage. The penalties have been taken in front of the Hearts end. They took first as well. So Braga, the fans' favourite, is going to step up with the next penalty. And
misses.
Misses. Claudio Braga, the song, get it in the bin. He's missed from the spot. It's a good save, actually, from the goalkeeper. So it's advantage St Mirren. Can they turn this into a proper advantage by scoring their next kick? Tension is rising in Paisley, Hugh.
Who was it said St Mirren had the better goalkeeper?
It was you. But it can be bad penalties though as well. That's the beauty of it. I think by all accounts this one is a good save. A strong hand by Shamal George down to his left.
I'm back.
You are chug.
I'm getting things right.
Just easing his way back into it. We'll see. Let's wait and find out how this penalty shootout finishes first. Rangers have gone on the attack very early on. Edowu steps up and scores. So now St Mirren have the advantage at 3-2. And Hearts really need a response here.
Yeah, big penalty kicks coming up. I don't know who's taking the next one for Hearts, but what a pressure that is.
Alan Forrest.
Well, I think if Alan Forrest doesn't put it in the back of the net, Hearts are in massive trouble.
As you'd expect, Gordon Mullet were seconds in. Bailey Rice playing at left back, maybe a bit of a change there, but Rangers are just going to try and sort of dominate. Alan Forrest scores, incidentally. Rangers are going to look and try and blow teams away early on, is something that's been missing so far.
Yeah, they'll be looking for a very quick response tonight. They'll be looking for an early goal, settle everybody down. Bailey Rice, not his natural position, but look, at the end of the day, they're going to control the ball. They're going to have plenty of it. I don't see any problem for him tonight.
Evan Mooney with the chance to really hammer home St Mirren's advantage. They'd be nearly there if he can convert from the spot. Remember, they've got the advantage because Hearts have had one saved from Claudio Braga. St Mirren with a 100% record so far. What can young Evan Mooney produce from 12 yards in front of the Hearts fans? We're just about to find out. Tell you what, I always get nervous at penalty shootouts soon, even when it doesn't involve
Do you?
My team.
Do
I just think there's just a tension.
Tension's
to it.
Great. You feel for someone that misses.
Well, Evan Mooney scored, so this will be it if there's another miss here.
And who's taking the one for Hearts?
Not sure yet. He's about to reveal himself.
Big
Beningame. Benny Beningame.
He's a good penalty kick taker.
No, I was about to say he's a very good player. The Hearts fans not sort of famously bemoan the fact that he doesn't ever shoot. Is that not a thing?
Well, I hope he shoots tonight. We're going to have a long
He's just going to lay it off. He's going to roll it to the edge of the box. Mikey Moore's first action in a Rangers jersey is to fire one over the bar, but Rangers trying to press home the advantage. Beningame scores, so now it's
a chance
to win it. St Mirren to win it in their own right, to take the acclaim in front of the Hearts fans as well. It's been a long, tense afternoon.
Who's taking it?
And I'll tell you in just a second. Beningame scored. Shamal George.
Is he off?
Shamal George had been booked in the lead up to that. He was obviously trying to play the old mind games. I know that referees are really trying to clamp down and all that sort of stuff this season. So this is it. Real tension. It's getting to boiling point. It's one of the new signings for St Mirren. Dykstra is going to come on, and well, he has come on. He's going to try and take this kick that would send St Mirren through, put them in the hat, and he does. David Friel.
Yes, St Mirren are through. Gordon, party time here. They won 5-4 on penalties. Shamal George, the hero, saved Claudio Braga's penalty kick. St Mirren, they did it the hard way. What a first half they had. Hearts on top in the second half. Extra time, a waste of time, but St Mirren got there. They're through. They're into the last eight. What a win for Stephen Robinson and his players. They're over there partying just now. They held their nerve in the boiling heat. Well done to them. But for Hearts, a day to forget.
It's a huge blow, David, because we said Derek McInnes is publicly saying he wants to win silverware, and that's one of the opportunities gone. I suppose that's why it's a brave statement, because look, anything can happen in cup football. They've lost in penalties, for goodness sake, but that's the reality of it.
That is the reality. It's a huge blow for Hearts. Look, as you said, he's been very vocal, very public in his ambition to go and win trophies, but to be honest with you, I think they paid the price for a really poor first half. I think Derek will probably look back and think he picked the wrong team. I don't think Kabore worked. Kiedelidis certainly didn't work on the wings. St Mirren hung in there. They obviously conceded the goal, but they showed good nerve and penalty kicks there in front of the Hearts fans as well. You know, it wasn't easy for some young players to step up, Evan Mooney, guys like that, but they did the business. And Shamal George, you just need a goalkeeper to make one save. Shamal George did it from Claudio Braga, and St Mirren are through. Huge for Stephen Robinson a day after he gets his new contract.
Well, brilliant for St Mirren. Well done to them, Hugh. That's another feather in Stephen Robinson's cap.
Yeah, so far we have St Mirren in the last eight draws. Celtic are there, Partick Thistle are there, Aberdeen and Motherwell are there. Two ties to come tomorrow. Rangers playing at the moment. Big blow, and David Friel, I think, agrees with me that perhaps Derek McInnes picked the wrong team to begin with, and he made the triple substitution at half time. And the late equalising goal in regulation time promised a Hearts win, but they haven't done enough on the day. And the Tynecastle transformation has hit a bump in the road.
And obviously your prediction is right out the window, Hugh.
Yes, it is.
So you went back for long.
That's a good point. I had forgotten about that, actually. But there we go. Right, we're underway. 5.5 minutes gone at Ibrox. Gordon, have you learned anything in the early stages?
No, you'd imagine it's all Rangers, but they've not really tested a goalkeeper yet. Listen, it's just a case of they have to be patient, get that first goal, move Alawa around, try to, you know, find the spaces, gaps between them, get in behind them and create chances. And if they get the first goal, it'll be a comfortable night for Rangers. But once again, I think the caller said it, it does happen. If you go 20 minutes and you've not scored against Alba, the fans start to get a little bit restless. So for Rangers' sake and the players, they would like to get that early goal.
Great day of cup action. Partick Thistle are through. Let's hear from their victorious manager, Mark Wilson.
They're a good team. I give all the respect in the world to Scott and what he's done over the past couple of years. But to be honest, I think the way that we've been building this over pre-season, all the pre-season friendlies and then in this cup, that's the kind of performance level we've came to expect. So against St Johnson, hugely disappointing. We did a lot wrong in that day. And against Morton, we were just off it again, but the level of control we had there is exactly what we want for our team. And again, when you've got players at the top end like Logan and Fitzy and Tony and Wee T in there, who's so mobile, and Craw, then you always get chances. And look, if I'm nitpicking, we should have made it more comfortable in the end. I don't know, he'll probably not like me telling this, but St Johnson, we thought something was off with him. He forgot his boots, so he had to wear the centre-half boots. So, a lesson learned. And he misses it. It was a tactical decision last week that I didn't put him in. But 45 minutes last week, I brought him on in the game. He lit up things, he won the penalty. Today was great.
That's a good excuse. That's one of the new signings, Latosa. Performed badly, just blame it because you're wearing somebody else's boots.
Amazing.
Four sizes is too big.
Professional footballer who forgets his boots.
Incredible. Incredible.
Ever forget your gloves?
No, I've made sure. Surely not. Made sure the kit man had plenty of pairs of gloves for me.
There we go. Well, pleased for your old pal.
Oh, delighted for him. Not just
what were those hand gestures you were doing while he was talking?
No, I think he speaks very well indeed. Brilliant for him to be in the next round. I know what like it is. You're looking forward to it now. You can sit back, a little bit of pressure off. And financially, hopefully they get a real good draw.
Well, we're nearly there because we're working our way through a busy card in the Cup. Celtic were first through. They were joined this afternoon by Partick Thistle, as we just heard, by Aberdeen quite comfortably, by Motherwell after extra time, by St Mirren after penalties, knocking out Hearts. Next up is to find out whether it's Rangers or Alloa. You would imagine it will be the home side, but you never know. Never say never in football. 8 minutes gone, not a whole lot happened yet. And then it's over to tomorrow, Hugh, where the teams that played in Europe, of course, get their extra day. Hibs having to go to Livy, and the United playing Kilmarnock. It's been a great weekend so far, and it looks set to continue.
Terrific. Livy, always a problem for you. Hibs, extra time. Will it take its physical toll? I would have thought not. I think Hibs have got momentum about them. And Dundee United, the most severe blow, but they should be angry with themselves. They were a 2-goal lead and they didn't get through the tie, so they should be angry and possibly take it out on Kilmarnock.
Well, that's us done. Thank you to Hugh Evans, to Cammy Bell and Gordon DL. Thank you to the top team around the grounds. But as always, the biggest thanks by a mile, just don't tell them I said that, goes to you for listening, for tweeting, for calling, however you took part in the show today. We are eternally grateful, and we do it all again tomorrow. Don't forget, Clyde One Super Scoreboard is a 7-day operation these days, so get involved tomorrow afternoon, back on Monday, and then a huge week coming along in European qualification as well. So much to look forward to, and it starts right now. You can look forward to the GBX, which is up next. The sun is shining. What's not to love? Speak to you soon.